AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
What's up? What's up? What's up? It's your girl, Didi Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen. And we are back with episode 26 of The Core Queen Podcast. And I have a guy that y'all should know from Erie, Pennsylvania, Mike Jones.
What up? What up?
Who? Cool. Mike Jones. What's up, Mike Jones?
Hey.
We are so happy to have you.
I'm excited to be here.
I hope you are. You ready to talk? This real talk?
Real talk.
No sugarcoating.
Zero.
All right. We going Shannon Sharp and Cat Williams?
100%.
All right. Well, for you guys who do not know who Mike Jones is, let me tell y'all a little bit about him. Like I said, he is from Erie, Pennsylvania. That's some part of Pennsylvania that don't really matter. You know, I'm from.
Don't do that. You starting off early. Too early.
Well, he's from PA, so I give him a pass. He's been here in South Carolina for the past 5 years. He is a PK. If you don't know what a PK is, he is a pastor's kid. Y'all know what they say about the pastor's kids?
We all saved.
His father is the pastor. He pastors New Life and Spirit Church in Erie.
Correct.
Mike Jones, he did his studies in theological studies at Mercyhurst.
Go Lakers.
Oh God. Okay. And Hearts Bible College.
Amen.
That's interesting.
Amen, church.
He is a songwriter, music producer, and pianist with over 20 years of experience. Mike Jones might know a little something. Okay, Mike Jones. A
little bit.
Just a little bit.
Poquito for all of our Spanish viewers. Poquito.
Lord, not the Spanish.
Gloria Jesus. All my Spanish before.
Oh my God. Yeah. So what was it like being a pastor's kid, a PK?
Oh man. So my dad started pastoring like a little later on in my life.
Okay.
You know, but I've always been in church. My parents always been in church. It's tough. Tough. You know, expectations are like through the roof, you know. They put the stigma on you that you have to be a certain way.
Uh-oh.
Because your mom's a certain way or your dad's a certain way or your uncle, whoever, mm-hmm. is a certain way. So they grab you and they throw you in that box. They don't place you in there. They
right.
grab you and they throw you in that box. And if you deviate from that, yeah, hell.
You know what? Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah, that's.
So what around what age would you say your dad became a pastor? How old were you?
I don't even remember. It's all a blur.
It's a blur. Damn.
I blocked it out. It was so traumatizing.
Oh my God. So before he became a pastor, what was he doing?
So before he became a pastor, he was like one of the associate pastors at another church.
Okay.
So like it's always been that role. Pretty much my whole life.
And was his dad?
No. My dad got his own unique calling from God, if that makes sense. Oh. It's not like it wasn't handed down or anything like that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So then he decided to become a pastor, and then
he didn't decide.
Oh well.
He answered a call.
He still had the freedom of choice to make a decision.
I don't believe that.
Oh, okay. So what do you do?
This is gonna mess people up, but that's what we're here, right?
It ain't gonna mess people up. We're gonna talk the talk.
So they say we got freedom of choice, but I don't believe we have freedom of choice.
Why not?
Because the Bible says. Okay, so I'm gonna be real churchy on some side.
Go ahead, come on. And then I'm not so much on the other. Church too, so we're gonna have this conversation.
So let's do it. So in Romans, it says that for who he did know, he predestined for them, right? And if you believe what that scripture says, then you already have a set destination, whether you like it or not, whether you think you follow it or not. I think we have an illusion of choice, right? So I think I'm going to do this. So I do it. No, you it was already in your in
so
your,
you don't so since you went to the Bible college, so you believe the Bible and Christianity and you know the Baptist folks. So do you because I like I believe that. If I remember my teachings, Jesus had a choice to come off that cross, but he didn't.
You think so?
Oh yeah. He had a choice. He could have came down.
So what about the scripture that says that he's the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world? So before the world already got here, his ending was already set.
So you mean to tell me you don't think that? So you think that rapists, they were predestined to be rapists?
You don't have a choice. You have an illusion of choice. You have a predestination. The book of Jeremiah, right? Mm-hmm. The book of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah has all these. He's feeling bad about himself, and he's weeping, and he doesn't want to speak for God, right? Mm-hmm. And God says, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly of your mother, I predestinated you, right? Mm-hmm. Which simply means you have an ending. Actually, even in Jeremiah, it says you have an expected end, right, mm-hmm. from God, right? Then later on, I think it's in the book of Romans, it says something like, it asks a rhetorical question. Mm-hmm. And it says, who has resisted his will? In other words, who's strong enough, who's more powerful enough to resist the will of God for your life? No one.
Okay, so because if I can recall correctly, the devil was an angel before, right? So he chose to fall and become the devil.
We're not talking about angelic creatures. We're talking about humanity.
No. Oh, so we can only talk about certain stuff in
the
Bible?
No, I'm talking about this conversation.
Said we're talking about freedom of choice. So we're talking about the Bible, right? So stuff that's in the Bible that actually happened in the Bible.
Okay. So I don't know because I'm not an angel. I don't know if they have free choice, but I know when I read the scripture, when it's talking to mankind, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't believe that the stuff in the Bible existed. So we can go back and forth about that all day.
Yeah, yeah.
So what about slavery then? That was a choice that was predestined too?
Yeah, you can look up Deuteronomy chapter 28:68.
So God allowed all these people to just die and get tortured. And they didn't have a choice. Like that's just what they was going to be.
You can read Deuteronomy 28:16.
I don't want to read. I want you to tell me.
I'm going to tell you where we went wrong. I'm going to tell you where we went wrong. We went into this podcast and it's a church podcast and we didn't even have a moment of prayer.
I'm not praying.
I'll pray.
Go ahead.
Can I pray? Or
sure.
Maybe my God for
you. You gonna pray over that drink you got over there too? I pray over that. Because I'm just trying to sing. I just want it out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, go on and pray then. Shit. Communion it is.
Hey, well, let me just have a
you quick pray. Go all ahead. Right, go all right. Pray.
Father, we just thank you. We just ask that you would just like enlighten us and show us your will, show us your way. Let us have great fellowship, great talk, and let me be enlightened. Let Cora be enlightened. Let somebody out there. Let Fred be enlightened. Let somebody out there be enlightened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's go.
Let's go.
Okay, let me pull this up.
Okay.
But go ahead. I'm with you.
Okay. Because I was just trying to figure out what it was like being the pastor's kid. And we done got into we went deep already. Roman,
yeah.
Slavery.
It don't take much.
I see.
It don't take much.
I need the folks. Fred, you got the number up there so the people could call in.
Call in.
Okay. Okay, good. So if y'all know the number is scrolling across the screen. If y'all want to call in, y'all got questions, or y'all got some input, or you want to shed some light on something. I know a lot of people have experience in the church, have some stuff that they want to get off their chest, what they've been wanting to say, things they wanted to talk about, because I know when I grew up in the church, asking questions was frowned upon. And you were pretty much told to shut up in color and be quiet, because this is what I said to do.
That's facts.
So, you know, just being older and being able to go and research stuff on my own has been like extremely eye-opening. So I just want y'all to, we're going to talk about some stuff today.
We're going to talk about it today. Yeah,
okay.
We're going to talk about. But here's the thing, too. Even with that, I never felt like, and I agree with you. The church did do that. The church did say, hey, like, you shouldn't ask God questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I see all through scriptures where people ask God questions. Right?
I don't even understand why that would ever have been a thing.
It's another one of those things that man put in place that God never said to do.
Yeah.
Right. And they kind of, man kind of made it law. And that's the problem with the church. We've made stuff law that God never said was law.
Yep. They say, don't question God. I'm like, well, wait a minute. If you say he my father, AKA my dad, why can't I ask my dad questions?
I better ask him questions, because I don't understand.
I don't understand. That don't make sense.
And that's why Jesus said, my God, why? He asked him a question.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. So why did you choose to study theology?
I
you said you didn't choose to do it. It was a calling.
No.
We don't decide nothing. We just fall in some shit. I don't know. I done cheated before. I chose to do that shit. I promise you I did. God did not predestine me to do that. That's all I know. But why was theology the thing that you did?
Why?
I don't know.
Because I felt like I felt a call to that. I really wanted to go down that path. I really wanted to help people. And the means that I wanted to help people was scripturally.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have done that if your dad wasn't a pastor? Because you said God said.
Fred, it's going to be all day.
Because this is nature over nurture here. I'm just saying.
This is all night. if it's in my book, I have no choice. I have an illusion of choice.
I don't agree with that at all.
That's okay.
I don't. Because I don't think people choose to smoke crack. I think their environment can dictate some of those things, and they make bad choices. I don't think people choose to be single parents. I think they made bad decisions. I don't think that's something that God predestined for them to do.
So do you, first of all, I guess the main question is, do you subscribe to the Bible?
It depends on what we're talking about.
Okay. So you somewhat subscribe
to the
Bible.
There's some stuff in there. I'm like, ain't no way.
Okay.
Right. It's just like, I got questions.
And that's great. It's great to have questions.
Because
that's great.
I mean, there's so many different religions out here that I subscribe to my relationship with God. That's what I subscribe to.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And my experiences have shown that's
so
the better connection.
So does your relationship that you have with God, does it take you to the book?
Not really. Not all the time. Sometimes I'll.
Let me ask it a different way. Your relationship with God, does it ever take you to his words?
Yeah, sometimes. It's more so what I was trained something that I really delved into and was like, but it's like if a scripture fits a situation, then I'm like, that makes sense. Or maybe it could be a song that I may have sang in the choir or something like that I can connect with now that I'm older.
I'd like to hear you sing one of your choir songs. That's just me though. Audience, anybody?
No. Yeah, right. No. Anyway.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, we're going to get into, all this other stuff, but as far as traditional religion, probably not.
No,
I'm
100% with you on that. Like I don't subscribe to traditional religion either. Mm-hmm. So I'm third generation apostolic Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And for a lot of the people out there, they'll know how I grew up there.
AKA in church all day.
All the day long. Monday, youth, Tuesday, prayer, Wednesday, Bible study, Thursday, saints instruction, Friday, something else, Saturday, you got to be there to clean for Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all day.
And I was baptized and went through the same thing. Yeah. So we was there every day. I think we might have had keys to the church. I don't know. We was there every day.
We definitely had keys
to
the church.
So
we had keys to the church.
Mm-hmm. So do you only write, produce, and play gospel music?
I did for years, but not anymore.
You make twerk songs? You see how God predestined that thing? Hey, get it sexy. Get it sexy.
I don't do any of the glow stuff. Or any
that
of
is
that.
Sexy red.
Oh, is that sexy red? Oh, my bad. My bad.
I like it.
No,
sexy.
No, I don't. I like the music. I just don't write.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't like the music. I'm just being funny.
I do some R&B. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, my youngest brother, he raps, mm-hmm. does his thing or whatever, and I'll be a part of his band.
Okay.
Yeah, as if he goes out and does a show and does it live, mm-hmm. yeah, I'll be part of it.
Oh, that's dope.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what it's about. Yeah. Me sharing, or you sharing, or we sharing our gifts with each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always say that your destiny is directly connected to somebody else's.
Yeah, because it's predestined. That's, yeah.
No, I don't know about that part, but if you fumble the bag, obedience is better than sacrifice. So if I'm not obedient, which means I have the choice to either be obedient or not. If I'm not obedient, somebody's destiny is going to be cut off.
I hear what you're saying, but...
Yeah, well, it's the truth. It's happened. It's actually happened. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Okay. So, but
check out those scriptures later, though. When he said, "Who
you
can
never
resist?"
Told me the script. You never told me the scriptures.
I'll
check something out. I ain't gave nobody.
Deuteronomy 28:68. I did give that one, and I'll give the other ones later.
Okay.
Who has resisted His will? None. No one. Okay. Yeah. But yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, what is a memory? One of the memories that shaped your outlook on the church. Got a memory that kind of like shifted how you feel about the church or think about the church?
Man, let me tell this one.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on the organ one time. This long time ago. And I'm playing and we jamming, and then a guy comes up, and it's his turn. He comes up. The pastor hands him the mic, and he says, with the mic, he says, "I came here to blow your brains out," to the pastor. Hmm. And that kind of shook my world, because I'm 15 feet away. Mm-hmm. I'm young. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, right. Whoa, what the heck is this? What's going on? You know, so that was kind of like, that was very traumatizing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So my head, I'm thinking, all right, well, you got the gun on you. You know? We're about 10, 15 feet away from each other. Like, you know, so I kind of scooted off the organ and gave the church finger.
Self-preservation. That's fine.
Gave the church finger and went to the bathroom. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
that was traumatizing.
That had to be traumatizing.
But it's been so many different things. Like, I grew up, when I grew up as a young child, we were in a church, very, very, very powerful church,
mm-hmm.
very legalistic. The pastor, the bishop at the time, I was afraid of him.
Why?
Because like I've seen some things.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some things, right? In church. Mm-hmm. Like, and just the many stories that has happened. How a young lady was raised from the dead. Right in service. I know people might not believe that.
How you know she was dead? With some medical people. I'm asking. I got questions. I told you I got questions.
Yeah. Oh, I'm young, so I don't have all the information on it. But
yo, the people that be buying that Peter Popoff water. I'm telling y'all.
don't Peter Popoff, though.
I'm telling you.
Don't Peter Popoff. Like, come on.
How y'all know the lady
was dead? Come on. I've seen Like anybody that knows like how you grow up in an apostolic church or a Pentecostal church, like you know it's a lot of casting out of devils and things like that. So like I've been around that kind of stuff like my whole entire life.
So okay. So why does this stuff only happen in the walls of the church?
It don't. It's happened on the streets before.
Weird. What? Like why? So
you just gotta get out more.
No, I need to understand if it's so powerful.
Okay. Yeah.
Why is the black community in such a drought and shit? Like, why is it so? Why I don't understand. If you got this much power and you this connected with God, why are people struggling and suffering so much?
Yeah,
is it because it's predestined? Because I just want to know.
We're just going to keep going there. That's fine. That's fine. I like that. No, what I do think, though, I think that we've lost some of our, I hate to use like churchy analogies and stuff like that. But I'm going to use it this time. Mm-hmm. I think we've lost some of our connection. I'll put it like that. Mm-hmm. I believe we lost some of our connection because we're always on this. Mm-hmm. We're always on this. My whole life is on this. Mm-hmm. My credit card is on this. Mm-hmm. Right?
Let me see.
Right? So we go to this mm-hmm. instead of going to God now. Mm-hmm. Right? And so with that being said, we lose some of the intensity, some of the connections, some of the power, right? Mm. And these things that I'm talking about were happening 20 and 30 years ago. Right?
Okay.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Okay, so because here's my issue with the church as an institution.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna take it so people can understand where I'm coming from. I wish I had the video on here so I could play it. So I was watching a video earlier today with Pastor Jamal Bryant.
Yeah.
Lord help us.
Yeah.
And
shout out to Pastor Jamal Bryant. Mm-hmm. He just got married right recently.
Again, yeah. Predestined. Anyway. And so he said that he has like the biggest like land acreage, like whatever.
I already know where you're going with this. I believe, but go ahead.
And then this interview, I never saw this interview till today.
Yeah.
Where he was talking about he wanted to get into selling weed.
Selling weed, yeah. I heard
at the church. I saw it. You want to grow cannabis because they have all this acreage.
Let me ask you
my question was, okay, why not grow food?
Okay.
Why not feed the people? People are starving.
They are.
You got acres of land and you want to grow weed?
You want to grow weed.
That's absolutely insane to me. Yeah. It's insane to me. I don't understand.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. This has nothing to do with the answer I'm going to give, but is weed legal in Georgia?
I don't know.
It's not?
Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's just like the messages of prosperity and lining pockets and getting money when people are starving. It makes no sense to me when you have the infrastructure, you have the land, you have the capability, you have the money to actually feed people, but you're literally talking about selling weed at the church.
I'm not gonna condone what Pastor Jamal Bryant is doing. That's him, right? But I will say this. I do know that he does give away food. His ministry does give away food. And it's kind of ironic, and this happens a lot with the church. Like, we highlight one thing that we don't agree with, but the thing that we really should be tapping into, it's never highlighted.
But you're giving away food when you can actually grow food and people can come and...
What if he is?
Because he ain't. Because if he was, we would know.
No, we wouldn't. We probably wouldn't.
He was like, I could do it. First of all, not even just him. I want to say all churches that have the ability, the acreage. It's too many food droughts in the areas around them. It's too many poor people in them areas around them.
Yeah,
it's too many struggling people in these areas around them. And I don't feel like the churches have done enough over history of churches to help people in the black community, particularly because I haven't seen a huge spike in prosperity as what they preach it to be.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to figure out the institution of the church, and I got some scriptures to prove it.
That's what I'm talking about. As you do that, I do know that Pastor Jamal Bryant, didn't he say he was going to be able to employ over 1,000 people or something like that?
Well, with the weed?
I'm just asking.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't hear that part.
That,
I don't know. But one thing that came up,
I know it was a lot of people
watching the video, they wanted to tie the scripture into what these churches are doing, particularly him with this type of
stuff. And again, let me say this for the people. I'm not condoning like what he's doing. I'm just asking questions.
So this is what it's saying about the church in the Bible. This is in the Bible.
So you do go to his word.
No, when I watched this video, the people on the video referenced these.
Got you.
Somebody sent me some stuff so I could talk about it tonight because they wanted me to make sure I highlighted this shit.
Make sure you say this, Core.
So Jeremiah 4:22.
Oh, we was just talking about Jeremiah.
4:22, uh-huh. New International Version.
Okay.
My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. Mm. Isaiah 56:10-11. New International Version. Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They are all mute dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. They seek their own gain. Let me keep going.
One more.
Okay.
Or two.
It's one. It's a one scripture, just three verses. Ezekiel 22:26-29. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean, and they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say this is what the sovereign Lord says when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice. That's in the Bible.
That's heavy. That's heavy.
Yeah.
That's true.
It is. So, with that being said, do you believe that the church has contributed to the poor conditions in the Black community?
I'm going to say yes to a degree.
Okay, I need you to elaborate.
I don't think that we have really divided the word of God in its totality in the way that we should.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes I do think that we highlight some things I'm not going to say that shouldn't be highlighted, but should go in correlation with something else.
Okay.
Right. So we preach prosperity, right? But prosperity is not something that's just going to come out the sky.
Right. Right.
Prosperity is, hey, go get a job and climb up the ladder. Right.
I agree.
And go to school.
Yeah.
Right. That's what, because the prosperity message isn't the issue. But it's how you get to the prosperity is what's been lacking, right?
Okay.
So tell this next generation that God wants, because there's a scripture that says, "I would that you would be in health, would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper."
Mm-hmm.
Right. So even Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and that more abundantly."
Yes, he did.
Right. So there is something to that, like live an abundant life. Having prosperity, but it's not coming out the sky. Let's teach this next generation. You got to go to school.
There you go.
Or you got to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
Or you have to do something in order to get to that.
Absolutely.
Because what we do in the church is we say, and I grew up in this right here, get up, spin around three times, and God is going to bless you.
Peter, right? Pop off, baby.
And if you sow this $20 seed right now, by Friday, you're going to receive a check in the mail.
Yep.
No, the check is going to come in the mail because you went to work last week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we got to inform the people on how to get the prosperity that the Father really wants them to have.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a comment on YouTube's this Ray Hanma.
Ray, you know, what
some,
up?
Some people just like to talk.
That's okay.
And, you know, I drag the shit out of them.
Talk heavy, Ray.
Ray need to shut the hell up. He don't know me.
Okay.
He says she worships all the other false gods. You don't. I never said who I worship.
Wait. Let me. Can you mind if I address that?
Please address it.
Okay, Ray. How you doing? Ray, you said she. This is what I will say to people, not just Ray, but to people. We got to be careful on what we spread about people.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because he not the question is, as the scripture would say, is he bearing false witness?
There you go.
Right, and so Ray got to ask, right? You have to ask. How do you know that? How do you know she's worshiping?
Yeah, I never said who I worship.
Yeah,
and then he said, "Oh God," using his name in vain, "forgive these two creatures for their blasphemy."
I ain't mad at Ray. I ain't mad at all. Ray, listen, Ray. I support you.
As he spews blasphemy. Look at this. The irony Ray, of it all.
Ray, I support you and your right to be to come on here and your boldness to speak your mind. That doesn't bother me. It doesn't offend me. But the only thing I want people to do is have facts.
Because you're spewing blasphemy. Then he said, if you're not following the whole word of God, then you're playing games. Okay. According to who?
I don't know.
According to who?
I don't know when we said we didn't. I don't know.
But I don't know who that's according to. Because last time I checked, is it three things to get into heaven? Confess. Let me be quiet. Let me shut up.
Hey Ray.
I was just saying. I don't know. I'm just, you know.
And I think it's good that we have dialogue even on air.
I love
you know, but let's speak truth. You know what I'm saying?
Let's not attack people. Just have a conversation.
I was just going to go there. Let's not worry about the toothpick in our brother and sister's eye when we have a beam in our own.
You better speak from the word.
I'm just saying.
Okay, well, listen,
but
that'll lead me to another question I don't know if Ray is in the church. I don't know what his background is. So I don't just judge people like that.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask that question, like, what would you say to people who say that church folks are so too judgmental?
What would I say to people that say church folk are too judgmental? Are you judging? Is your question judgmental? If I say you're too judgmental, is that me judging you? Right,
I don't know about that. If
you're the church people, right,
mm-hmm.
and I say you're too judgmental, then I'm judging you for being judgmental.
Now you're irritated me.
I'm just
if people don't want to go to church anymore because people are judgmental.
No,
if I walk in a church and I maybe my skirt too short.
No, oh my point man. Is my point is we got to worry about ourselves.
But see, everybody's not mature enough in the word or in life
right.
to I'm do that. So if I'm going somewhere where somebody's supposed to be teaching me and accepting me uh-huh. and I'm feeling judged, and that's why I'm not going.
The church has done a horrible job in that. And let me say that again for all the church folk. The church has done a horrible job with that because we say this is the place of refuge, mm-hmm. safety, of healing. Right,
mm-hmm.
but we judge the people who need safety, healing. Right, we judge them for being there.
Yeah,
but yet we say this is the place you need to be.
Yeah, that's the reason you're there.
Don't judge a person who's sick for being at the hospital.
Right. Yeah,
that's what the church does oftentimes. Yeah.
Because the way I was raised in the church, like my pastor, rest in peace, was like to me the epitome of pastors.
Gotcha.
Like he. He was like, what was literally, his name was Pastor Joseph Randall Wright. And he was amazing. Like he literally in the prisons, at the hospitals, he going everywhere to preach. We outside walking down the street, you know, making sure everybody come to the church. Like he didn't judge anybody. He wasn't, this man was like the walking epitome of what God looks like.
Okay.
And so for me to see how churches are now, it's like, I ain't going in there. I'm not going. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't feel I'm a single woman, a single woman with children. I ain't gonna say I'm a single mom, single woman with children, and it doesn't feel comfortable for me to walk into a church because I feel like number one, all the wives think I want their husbands, and it's just a hot mess.
That's
and I'm not going.
The problem. So if we have 5 million, 10 million people who don't want to come to church because the church looks at them a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
The church has to do better.
Yeah.
You know what I told my parents a long time ago? If you don't have sick people, prostitutes, mm-hmm. Drunks and homeless in your church,
yep.
Then you got to do some reevaluating.
Yeah.
If everybody in your church is saved, if everybody in your church is holy, close the doors.
Yep. Because why are we here?
Because you're not reaching the lost.
Yep.
Right? And you're not affecting any kingdom, the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness.
Right.
You're not adding to the kingdom of light, and you're not taking away from the kingdom of darkness.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
We have to do a better job at that. But you know what? And I'm with you. Again, I'm third generation, right? So I've heard it. Oh, look what she got on.
Mm-hmm.
Look what, oh, why are they? Because they need help.
Right. They came here for
a
reason.
They came here for a reason.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
It's unfortunate. I mean, I hope dialogues like this will happen more often so that people can just feel open about saying what's going on. Like, why don't you want to go? What's making you stay away? Like, it got to be some type of acceptance for this conversation and the critique.
Right.
Okay, you got taken. Okay, what can we do to fix it?
The church, catch what I'm saying, church folk. Because you know they're gonna kill me in the comments. The church need to be more like the AA meeting.
Mm.
The church needs to be more like the AA meeting. What we need to do is we need to open up a building and we have some good praise and worship. And then after that, we all get in a big circle and say, "Hi, my name is Michael, and I'm struggling with this, and I'm a mess. And I came here because for the last 15 years, I've been doing this. Can anybody help me?" And then you need to get up. And then he needs to get up and say, "I'm a mess. I'm here because I don't have it together." Mm-hmm. That's what the church needs.
Yeah, they ain't gonna make them no money, though.
Is this my water?
That ain't gonna make no money. They ain't gonna do what they're trying to sell weed. Okay. So all right. So
wow.
Most of you, I think you should know this about me. I'm really big into community events and giving back to the community.
Yeah.
I do two big events in my hometown of Bristol, Pennsylvania every year.
Yeah.
I do a winter coat drive,
and
I do a back to school bash. So, I'm about to piss some people off.
Talk heavy.
No sugarcoat.
Talk heavy.
And this year, for the back to school bash and both of them, this is my second year doing them. None of these years has my church, my home church that I grew up in, helped with anything. Mm. They have never contributed. Now, some of the members of the church, because I'm connected to them, like they might be my daughter's godparents, something like that. So they'll come and they'll contribute that way. Or like some of my friends that are still in the church.
Yeah.
But the church itself never contributed to it. So I want to know, do you think that the church has done a good job of uplifting the community and helping restore the community?
Do I think the church has done a good job of uplifting the community and restoring?
Because I'm going to tell you this. When I go home to give back, these people are really in need. Like, it's not a game. Like, they really are super appreciative of what I'm doing. So, like, they are really like, "Thank God." Like, "Thank you." And I'm like, "What's the church is doing?"
Yeah.
Like, I don't, and they may be doing something. I just don't know.
I think the church can do more.
I agree.
As a whole.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to say that the church is doing a bad job, because every church is different and every church doesn't have the same amount of resources,
right?
But with the amount of resources you have, what are you doing to help the community?
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes it's just showing up.
That's it.
Sometimes it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes
that would be
like,
so huge.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like, hey, let's get all the ushers, let's get all the praise and worship, right? All the people that's out front every Sunday and doing some, hey, let's get the deacons and let's go give away turkeys or help what she's doing.
Yeah.
Or help what he's doing.
So easy.
It's easy. Yeah. We definitely need to do more.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's really just like, I don't even know. Like, my grandma was at that church the whole 60 years. She's a founding member of that church. So you talking about her with her
shout
nine kids, her 30 something grandkids, like great, like all of us grew up in this church. So
she put her life into that church.
Yeah. So it's like, y'all can't come help a little bit. And something rubbed me. So when I tell you this about to piss some people off, so wrong.
Talk heavy.
So my grandma just passed away in January. And
how old was grandma?
She was 83. 84, something like that. She was old. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I'm joking. No, she should have lived to 100. But
she was old, but I'm sure she was impactful.
She very impactful. Yeah. And when we were setting up for her service and stuff, and my mother called me and told me that the pastor said we needed to give $300 for some food at the repat.
How many years grandma put in?
60. You want to know what I told my mom to tell the pastor? I said, go and collect all them tithe envelopes that we all put in from the building fund that ain't never been built and get them $300 out of there. From the founding member?
She went there, y'all. She went there.
Are you serious?
She's a founding member. And they you got to give me this $300.
You think they got it?
I know they didn't.
The audacity. The audacity. I was so mad.
Scale of 0 to 10.
100.
Yeah.
And then.
Rightfully so.
When we sat down to do the obituary and they said they didn't have the printer that could accommodate what we needed.
Oh,
all right. My media group, shout out to Iron Woe Media Group.
Shout them out again.
Shout out Iron Woe Media Group. My boy Woe came
shout
through
out to you, Wo.
On the obituary. He created it from scratch for me.
Come on.
And sent it to me and I had it printed.
Come on.
At a print place. I'm like, I got to do this while I'm writing obituary. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's just, I just felt like there's just no way. And it was so bad that most of my family didn't even show up for the repast. We rented a whole space for them to go because nobody wanted to come to the church.
Again, this is what I despise about the church. We hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
We hurt people.
Yeah. Unacceptable.
It's very unacceptable. Grandma put her life, her blood, sweat, and tears in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you need 300.
Child.
To,
and I ain't seen the breaking of no ground from the building. Man, you better go find them tying the envelopes and get out of here. ain't no way they said that. Yeah, out of control.
Out of control.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So do you believe the church is responsible for a certain level of PTSD in the Black community?
I have PTSD Fred, I have PTSD and it came from the church.
Man,
it can't. Listen, so there's a whole generation, like where I come from, it's a whole generation of people who want nothing to do with the church because the church hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt them so bad in their teens. Mm-hmm. Now they're in their 60s and 70s and they still want nothing to do with the church.
Yeah.
And when they hear about the church, it's boom. I know people that don't even want to go to funerals because the funeral is going to be in the church.
My sister.
Your sister. I don't know her, but your sister.
She'd be like,
don't want to go.
No.
Because the church gave us PTSD. And it's still doing it.
Still doing it. It's pretty bad.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Because I think most of the people that I grew up in the church with, like you said, we was going like every day.
Yeah.
Throughout the week, all the different auxiliaries and all that stuff. And I don't, it's majority of us don't go to church.
They don't.
Yeah. Majority of us don't go to church.
And they have to, and that's because they still have to find their way. Yeah. You still have to figure it out.
Yeah.
The church has hurt them so bad that they're like, I'd rather never. You know how long never is? I'd rather never step foot in a church again. Not because of what happened to me today, but what happened 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. You hurt me so bad.
Yeah. They Chris Tuckered that thing. Don't you ever come around here.
Yeah. When I grew up where they weren't allowed to play basketball. They weren't allowed to play sports. They weren't allowed to go to the movies. Like, no, I grew up in a very legalistic, dogmatic church. I caught the end of it, right? But my parents and them, they were full-fledged in it.
I heard somebody say that before. Yeah. When they was in church, they couldn't play no sports. They said it was a sin. And
I went to high school with a girl, God bless her soul. We were in gym class, and then half of the gym class, you had to go to pool. She would be in pool with a skirt on.
Shut up.
Don't play, man. This is what we're doing? Is what we're doing?
Like, we can't just lift the skirt up.
Like, she would put her, she would put her whatever on up under it, but she got in there with a skirt on.
That's ridiculous.
And then another girl took an F
because she couldn't get
She wouldn't get in the pool because she had a skirt on.
That is insane. Like, what kind of, to me, what,
that's PTSD at its finest.
My question is, what type of God would want me to suffer like that? Why is it a bad thing? Like, what is this damning thing that's going to happen to me?
Here's, I hope I can help somebody with this. What camera should I look at?
That one.
I'm gonna look at you right there. I hope I can help somebody. Because instances like I just talked about happen all the time. Mm-hmm. But let me say this. If it's not universal, it's not gospel. Mm. What do you mean by that, Mike Jones? I'm going to tell you. So if she can't wear pants, right, because of whatever her church says in Erie, Pennsylvania, if it ain't universal, that woman in Alaska better have some pants on or she's going to freeze to death.
Mm. Yeah.
If it ain't universal, it ain't gospel. Mm. y'all could talk about that.
They just made up some stuff. They were just making up stuff.
They made up stuff. I didn't tell you this.
Oh, God.
No, it's not
Am
bad.
I ready? Okay.
It's not bad. I'm in the process right now, writing the book.
Uh-oh. He's spilling the tea. Ooh, he's spilling the tea.
I'm spilling the tea. Would you like to...
What are you talking about?
Would you like to know the topic?
What is the title? Do you have a title of the book yet?
That's what I'm going to tell
you. Okay, what's the title of the book?
I'm going to take a little bit of my Pepsi.
Oh, Lord. I know that's right. Communion juice, baby.
The title of my book is called I Hate Church.
Ooh.
I Love Church. Mm. That sums it up right there. I hate church. I love church. I hate it for everything it did. Mm-hmm. The girl that I went to school with couldn't even get in the pool and got an F. Mm-hmm. I hate it for so many reasons. Yeah. I absolutely hate it. I hate it because I want anybody from Erie on tap.
No.
she Philly, right? She from Philly,
I'm
y'all.
From Bristol, Pennsylvania.
Okay. That ain't even Philly. What is that?
Bristol, Pennsylvania.
Bristol?
Don't do that.
Where is that at?
Bristol.
What is that at?
It's in Bristol. It's right outside of Philly.
Okay. So she's not even from Philly.
I don't want to be.
She's from Bristol. That's like
everybody from Philly moved to Bristol. What are you talking about? Nobody want to be in Philly. I'm okay. From Bristol.
All right.
Bucks County, PA.
Bucks
Stand
County.
Up.
Stand up.
Winter right. Village, The Terrace, Venice Ashby. That's where I'm from.
Okay. All right, Fred, now we got that out the way. She's from Bristol and not Philly, all right? So I hate the fact that it did all this damage to me, my peers, my forefathers. I absolutely hate it. Mm-hmm. I hate the fact that I wake up every day with church PTSD. Mm-hmm. I hate it. Mm-hmm. I hate the fact that I wanted to go to the Erie One party.
Uh-oh.
I hate the fact that
I'm going to that party.
I hate the fact that all the homies was going to the Booker T and I couldn't go. I hate it.
And you don't even know why.
I didn't want to indulge in any criminal activities.
Right, right.
I didn't even want to dance because
right.
I can't.
Jesus.
I'm a musician that can't dance. All I wanted to do is be around my friends. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't go because chapter 3 of my book says, whose God is this? Mm. He wasn't even my God. He was my mom's God. He was my dad's God, but he wasn't mine. I didn't even know him.
That's deep.
I didn't know him. So you got me going to church 6 to 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. I can't go to the Erie One party. I can't go to my homie's birthday party. Ooh. I don't want to get in no criminal activity. I just want to go hang out with the homies. I'm 16. I'm 13. I just want to go. Mm-hmm. The Booker T was across the street.
Oh.
I couldn't go. And so I hate church. And then chapter 3, whose God is this? It ain't even mine. I'm not going because of mom. I'm not going because of dad.
Right.
Y'all stopping me from going. Y'all making me go to church instead of go here. But he ain't even my God yet. I don't have an experience with him.
Mm.
See, he ain't mine yet. I'm doing everything I do in the church, mm-hmm. not because of me or anything I want to do, not because of my will, because of my dad's will.
Mm.
Because of my mom's will, because I don't even know him yet, right?
Right?
And it's not until I have an experience with him,
mm-hmm.
right, that he shows me or he reveals himself to me,
right.
And then he becomes my God. But until then, he's just theirs. Mm-hmm. I want to go hang out with Jamil.
Shout out to Jamil.
Jamil.
Shout out to Jamil.
Shout out, Millie. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Right? But, again, I still have PTSD for that.
Yep. Yeah.
The church did that.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people experience that.
A lot of.
Now they're calling it church hurt.
They're calling it church hurt.
Yeah. But a lot of church people are saying it don't exist.
The devil is a lie.
Yeah, I know that's right.
And then, like we always say, hurt people. And so it just becomes a cycle.
Yeah.
So the question is, when do we break the cycle? How do we break the cycle?
I think the number one thing they need to do is listen.
Come on now.
They have to, like, you can't dismiss everything.
Is that why?
Because it didn't happen to you.
Is that why he gave us 2 ears and only one mouth?
I believe.
Okay, I'm with you though.
Yeah.
The church needs, again, we need to have an amazing praise and worship experience and then take all the chairs and sit around and we need to listen to your problems. We need to listen to my problems. We need to listen to Fred. The scripture says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, right? And so when I give my testimony, you get strengthened.
Yep.
When you give your testimony, you say, you get over that?
Yep.
I can do it.
We did away with testimony, though. We used to have testimony service at church.
Well.
It went away.
Low-key, I kind of agree with that.
People was capping. And they would be the same person getting up every week. I'm like, yo, sit down, Sister Ida. Sorry, yo, Sister Ida,
yo, there was
if you're watching.
There was a Sister Ida at my church.
She probably was the same lady. Traveling.
She was anointed. She had an anointing on her.
I don't know about this. And shout out to Sister Ida because she's friends with me on Facebook.
R.I.P. Sister Ida.
Mine's still alive, child. Mm-hmm. Probably still shouting up and down the aisle.
She been gone for about 20 years.
Oh, no.
She's a pillar.
Listen, let's see what we got some comments over here.
See.
Somebody cussing me out again? They cussing out Mike Jones?
They getting me?
Is it on Facebook?
They got Jesus too.
Facebook or YouTube. Let me see what the people saying. Hold on. Let me see. Oh, Lord, I can't get it to come up. Hold on. My phone acting crazy. Come on, phone. What are the comments? Okay, here we go. You said the last. Juan says, so Mike, you never prayed to God when in need of? I don't know what that means.
Okay, he's probably talking about when I said he's not my God. He was my parents' God. I'm sure that's where he was talking.
But you was a kid.
I was a kid. But did I pray? Yeah, because my mom made me pray. My dad made me pray.
Yeah, that's how I felt in church. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going through the motions.
Just going through the motions.
Yeah.
But again, I had to have my own encounter, own experience. Yep. And then I called him Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah. And it's provider. Clear.
It's clear.
It's very clear.
Right. Then now I can say, and he walks with me and he talks with me. The church folk know where I'm at with that. And he tells me that I am his own. Yeah.
I know all the songs. It's been in the choir. I know.
I'm still here. You see before it's all said and done.
Kevin Jones says, shout out to you two in this conversation.
Hey, Kevin Jones, is that my brother, Kevin Jones?
I don't know. Is it? Shine a light.
Caleb, is that
and
you, my boy?
Expose the mess in traditional religion. I know that's
say
right.
That again?
He says, shine the light and expose the mess in traditional religion.
Yeah, facts. Facts.
Juan, he says some scriptures, Matthew 7:1 and Luke 6:37. Uh-huh. He said, that's me also. It's a business these days. Kevin Jones said, big facts. The gospel must be universal. Go ahead, Kevin Jones.
Kev Jones, that's you, bro? That's my big brother, I think.
Okay.
Don't keep your phone out. I got to see if that's my brother. He's going to respond.
Oh, Lord. All right,
Kevin.
You can
text me, Kev. That's you? that's my brother. Yeah, Kev. What's up, my boy?
Yeah, it's me,
love
bro.
You, boy. Love you, boy. That's my older brother, Kev. Shout out to you.
Oh, my God. Listen. Okay, so... we talked about Jamal Bryant earlier.
Okay.
So we got Jamal Bryant. Oh,
tread lightly, Kev, go there.
That's fine. We got Pastor Mike Todd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got
Michael Todd.
Bishop Whitehead.
Okay.
So I just named a few just so people can understand if they've seen some videos, some on social media. So what are your thoughts on the current state of the church and their theatrics?
You going to call it theatrics?
Yes, I am. What you call it?
Elaborate.
Okay, was it Mike Todd who did the whole spitting and put it on the person's eyes?
His natural brother. But yeah, I'm with you.
And then he was something.
Kev, I'd never do that to you, bro. I promise you.
He was in a pool.
Yeah.
With something, and he had put some honey on the Bible or something. And then I forgot which pastor it was. I'm not sure if it's Bishop Whitehead or
that's
not.
That's too much?
I don't remember which. You said, what's theatrics? I'm giving
you. Was that too much for you?
The question is, what do you think about it?
I love it.
And then the other guy.
I don't like the spit.
That's disgusting.
It was disgusting, but I like the rest of
it. What's the pastor's name? It was a big uproar for New Year's where they were swagging and surfing in the church.
Oh, praise is what I do. William Murphy.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you? I call that definitely.
Okay, let's go to Michael Todd. All right,
okay.
Let's get him off of that. I'm with Michael Todd on all of that.
Okay,
and you know why?
Why?
Because like it may, don't we go watch movies?
Yeah,
and we understand a little better.
Let me go back and read this scripture about the church.
I got scriptures about the church.
No, about what that is particularly.
Please read it. Do we have any more coke in there?
Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean.
So you're telling me Michael Todd?
No, you just gave an example of watching movies in the church. How are we going to distinguish?
No, what I mean by that is we are definitely visual people. So
we are people who succumb to being entertained. And going viral. Because I don't think if social media was a play, this stuff wouldn't be happening.
This stuff been going on before social media. Plays and all that.
I'm not talking about plays. I'm talking about the theatric. You're actually doing a play.
A skit.
With the pastor not up there doing all this stuff, spitting on people and shit.
Okay, I don't agree with the spitting.
But see, that's because you just don't agree with that one thing. So now that
I agree
thing,
with the message of what he did.
But why you can't just do the message? I'm talking about the theatrics of it all. To me, I feel like
making it real.
What? So what happens when you? What do you next?
I felt.
What do you do next? Like how much entertainment do you have to do to keep people interested?
I don't know. I mean. I don't call it entertainment.
I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I'm playing devil's advocate. Yeah, no, I just want to know because I know some people are like,
I like it.
Why we got to do, what is all of this?
I like it.
Okay.
Me personally, I like it.
Because I feel like
my kids are going to relate to it.
You
this
think?
This, well, this
you just
generation
said how many people they ain't going to church no more.
Say it again.
But you just said there's how many people they ain't going to church no more. So is it working?
Yeah, but where did you see it? You saw it online. Everybody's online. Bedside Baptist is what they call it now.
Yeah, but we trying to get back to some north, some connection.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think because that the people should be. And COVID did that. COVID did that.
They connected to the pastor. They ain't connected to God. Because if the pastor doing all these theatrics, where's the? How we get to that?
So Michael Todd did a whole thing, and he had the storm, and he had the boat, and all that. That didn't make the scripture come alive to you when you saw that?
No,
it did for me. It did for me.
But I don't require that much entertainment either. Like, I'm different. Like, I need you to get to the word. I want to feel it. I want to know what it is, and then I got to go home.
Have you ever been fishing?
Yeah, and I hate it.
You hated it? Yeah. What did you fish for, or did you just fish the fish?
No, I was trying to fish. They was teaching me, and I'm like, what are we catching? I think it was bass.
Okay, so there's a certain type of lure that you use for bass.
I'm
schooling you right
now.
I'm sure you didn't catch anything. I'm sure you didn't. If you want to catch a bass, it's a certain kind of bait. If you want to catch trout, it's a certain kind of bait, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe he's doing that, and that's his bait.
I agree. And that bait probably got a lot of money.
Because we're supposed to be fisher of men.
Well, I just got a verse sent to me. And this is referring to pastor's teachings.
Okay, I'm with you.
And I believe I might have said, I don't know. It says, this is the Bible's description of the pastors in church these days.
Okay.
Okay?
This is the Bible's description of the pastors in church today.
Yeah, I wish he sent me the actual, it says 11. I don't know what the book, though. He'll send it to me. It says, yay, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his gain from his quarter.
I think I got so that. Every pastor is like that.
I don't know. That's just what they sent me. Look, I'm reading the verse they sent me. This is Isaiah 56, 11.
Who was Isaiah talking to?
Let's look at it. I don't know. Isaiah 56, 11. I don't know. They just sent me the verse now. Yeah, now you want me to go?
All I want to do is just keep it in context.
You was predestined for this. You should have known I was going to ask that question.
Isaiah what?
56:11. It says 56:10 says, okay. Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. So he's talking to the watchmen. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's what he was talking. That's the verse. That's who he's talking to.
That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. But everyone's not like that right now today.
No, of course. There's never a generalization of every.
Yeah.
There are a plethora because there's a disconnect somewhere. And that's why you just said that there is a certain, I forgot you the number you said, of people that are not going to church anymore.
Yeah.
Because there is some disconnect somewhere.
100%.
Yeah. So
let's fish and let's do what it takes to get them. We don't change the message, but we going definitely have to change the method.
So you say that, right? And so we went back to New Year's when William Murphy did the whole swag and surfing.
Yeah.
So where do we draw the line?
There has to be a line. And here's the thing. The church wants to make up the line. And that's where we fall short. Mm. The church should never try to make up the line. The scripture makes up the line.
Mm.
And so what is it? First of all, I always say this. Is it sin?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with that.
Okay.
Whatever situation, not just the Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Is it sin? Is it deemed to be holy?
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest thing that I always run to, is it sin? But there is a line.
I think the problem is
we don't create the line.
No. But I think the problem with even asking is it sin is when you're talking about people who are not educated at all when it comes to religion or the Bible
those are the people that are giving these comments.
Well, no, I'm talking about somebody that's interested in they want to come in. They're ready.
Right. Okay.
They want to have their experience. Okay. They want to come to church, but they're not sure. They don't know. So they come in and all these theatrics is going on and they can get watered down. They're like, wait a minute, what in the hell? I could have just stayed out there and swag and surf. Like, why are we in here doing this? I came here because I'm sick. I came in here because I'm trying to get well, but y'all putting on the whole production and I can't even get my soul saved because I'm confused, because I came in here confused. Yeah, and now I'm really confused.
It goes back to what I said. It's about the bait. William Murphy, you know what he said after that when he got dogged? Mm-hmm. He said, well, it's a certain group of people that I'm called to go get.
What group of people is them?
You gotta ask
That's
him.
Talking about smoke, sipping, hypnotic, and exotic. Them the people?
It's a, every church has a...
It shouldn't. If God said to go out and teach all nations, he said you need to go out and preach the word and the gospel and bring the people in.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a specific anything. It should just be because he created everybody fearfully and wonderfully made in his image and his likeness, right? So they should be going to get whoever.
Amen, sister.
It shouldn't just be a specific. I shouldn't never come to a church that's only a specific set of people there.
No, I'm not, that's not what I'm saying. Let me be clear. So when God, and I'm not justifying what he did, he gonna do him.
Of course. Right. That's what man does. Not predestined. They have choices. They make decisions. Go ahead, sir.
We have an illusion of making the decision.
Me.
But but there is a message that God gives a person, a pastor, right? Jeremiah's message was not the same message that Isaiah had.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah's message is not the same that Ezekiel had, right? Mm-hmm. So God does give specific people specific messages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to reach those who relate to your message, right? Mm-hmm. But there should be somewhere in your city that you should be able to go to that touches you and where you are.
I'm going to tell you what Juan said.
Talk heavy, Juan.
He said it's entertainment to bring more money in. And then he said it makes the outside world feel comfortable in the inside. I agree. Because in my opinion, if you're coming here to change and grow, you got to be a little bit uncomfortable in here. I can't coddle you. I can't make you feel good in here the same way you felt at the club.
Are we talking about William Murphy or like the talk?
Just anything, like anything that resembles the world. It don't have to be any of them. Just anything that resembles, like you're trying to
even
reach people. Like you said, your bait is to get people in your church based off of what you're doing. But what you're doing is making them feel comfortable to come in here and do the same shit they was doing out there.
So I believe that we have to keep the message the same, but we have to change the method. No, we don't go to church. We don't typically in 2024 go to the same style of church that we grew up in.
Right.
In 1978.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
I think it depends on where you live. Because some people do still go to that kind of church.
That's why I said typically.
Yeah. I mean,
most people adapt, right? You agree? Because in the beginning, when we were having church, we didn't even have microphones. But don't have a microphone today. See what happens. See how many people are in your church.
Right.
So we have to do some kind of adapting.
Yeah. Evolution, technology, yeah. But what I'm saying is like the church I grew up in, the same kind of like principles and standards are still there. Like there's no...
The message. Yes, ma'am.
No, I'm talking about the method too. Like it ain't too much. Yeah. You ain't doing too much in there. No, hold on. Mother ain't... No. They still pretty traditional at the church.
How big is that church? And,
I mean, it's a nice size church. Ain't too many young folks going in there, but...
So that, which is okay. Because that probably means that pastor is probably called to a certain demographic.
His daddy was the pastor.
Of people. See, you finna cut up.
See, you ask him $300.
Yo, listen. I ain't gonna go there. But it's a certain demographic that go to that church. And you said it's not too many young people. But them young people in that city of what was it?
Bristol.
Bristol. Gotta go somewhere. They're not going there, but there got to be a church.
They're not going to church no more, though. That's the problem.
Some people are.
But we just had the conversation earlier that it's a large number of people who just ain't going.
Who ain't going?
Young folks.
No, I agree. They're not going.
Yeah.
So We have to do something to get them to come back.
Well, so if the theatrics ain't working,
it ain't theatrics.
So what? Like,
it's illustrations.
But you're talking about you got to change the
method.
Isn't
that what Jesus did?
But you're talking about change
the
method.
Is that what Jesus did?
You said change the method, and that's not working either.
The method is like these theatrics. Isn't that what Jesus did?
But it's not working.
Isn't that what Jesus did?
Jesus wasn't up there. Jesus was actually performing miracles.
No, Jesus.
He wasn't playing. He wasn't doing dress up. He was being Jesus. He wasn't being Mike Todd spitting on people.
Jesus talked.
Juan said God's
Jesus
word
talked
never
in parables.
Changes. He did.
He talked in parables.
But he was
he was giving them a message on the level that they could relate to it.
Right, but he wasn't dressing up. So he said, getting in no pool, acting like he wasn't doing all that. He didn't have to.
It's the same principle. He spoke to them where they were.
Right.
So he spoke in parables
outside of the church.
No.
He wasn't in no church walls.
I don't agree. I don't agree with
Jesus was not in no church walls.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
He was outside.
He wasn't. But what was his message? He spoke in parables. He spoke in a way that could relate to them. What is Michael Todd doing? He's speaking in a way that relates to them.
Yeah, so they can pay more money.
See, here you go. It might not relate to me. It might not relate to you, but it ain't for us then. It's for them. Hence why Jesus spoke like he would always talk about there's a wheat and a tare. Let them go together. He would talk about like farm stuff. He's dealing with a bunch of farmers. I'm going to talk to you in a way that you can understand it.
He didn't have a Bible.
You're missing my point.
I'm not missing your point. Juan said God's word never changes.
And the word never changes. I'm with you, Juan. But the method changes, not the message. The method has to change.
My only problem with the method now is that it's, and I'm going to say
you don't like the method.
No, I don't care. I'm not going to their church anyway. I got plenty of messages
in my
storehouse.
Are you speaking for the people? I'm sorry.
I don't care about their method. My issue is that I feel like these pastors, the current pastors now, they're being more worshiped than God's being worshiped. We have lost the connection to God, and everybody's following the man and not God. That's my issue, and that's why I call it theatrics.
Okay, I'm with you.
But you know.
I'm with you.
Okay. So, what do you think it will take to get young people back in the church?
You're not going to agree with my answer.
I don't have to agree. I ain't here to agree with you.
I kind of already stated it.
You did.
Yeah, we got to have a method that they relate to.
What do you think that method is?
You know what? The most important thing is we have to be real. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. So, should I say this?
Yes, you should.
Okay. So you know my son. You know my son, Mike.
Yes, Lil Mike.
Lil Mike. And I had the same conversation with both of them. In my conversation on their 13th birthday, Fred, I talked about the birds and the bees.
Oh, Lord.
And you know what I told him? I said, my boy, it feel good, my boy. It's amazing, my boy.
Oh, God.
Right? Oh, and I went through the whole thing. And I said, hey, what is it? So I feel good now, Fred. I said, yo, listen, what do you know about sex? And well, you know, I said, nah, let me tell you, my boy, it's gonna change your world, right? Mm-hmm. Being real with my sons, mm-hmm. I said, it is the best feeling you'll ever feel in the world, right? I want to put it up there, right? And I said to him, I said, but don't do it because I'm saying don't do it. That's not why I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to do it just because I got this because my Bible's on here. Mm-hmm. Because of the scripture, I want you to not do it because you love you. And I said to him, I said, hey, yo. I said to both of them when they both turned 13, mm-hmm. each time. I said, yo, remember that time when we was in Erie, when we went to Foot Locker and you wanted them sneakers and I couldn't get them for you? I said, no. He said, yeah. I said, no, I couldn't get them for you. He said, yeah, I remember that. And I said, I was crying on the inside. Walking out of Foot Locker, mad and upset, not with him, but upset with myself something I had did 10 years, 15 years prior to them being born. I said, you know, I'm going to tell you why I couldn't get you them sneakers. Couldn't get you them sneakers because the very thing that I'm telling you to not to do, I did it. And that's why you have your older sister. And I couldn't get you them sneakers because I was paying child support. And I walked out of Foot Locker crying on the inside because I couldn't get you sneakers because I did something 15 years prior. And I said, don't do that to your son.
Right.
Don't have that experience with your son. Don't hurt your son like I hurt myself. And don't hurt your son like I'm hurting you by not being able to get you them sneakers. Mm-hmm. I was so real with my son, and I could see a light bulb turn on in his head. And I said, you got to love you so much that you won't do it because you love you. Not because I said don't do it.
Right.
Not because of the scripture. But you love you, and you love where you're going. And once we start being real with this generation, they'll say, you know what? I am somebody. I do love me. I'm going to hold off, and I'm going to get the best, the best whatever that I can possibly get. So I'm going to abstain until it's time. And you know what I told him? I said, my boy, I was real with him, just like this podcast. I was real with him. I said, you know what? I said, you keep getting them good grades. My son's hoop, y'all.
Oh, yeah. They hoop. No, they hoop.
Talk heavy. they hoop hoop. And right, I told him, I said, keep hooping. Keep doing this. Keep doing that. And I said, whatever you like, you'll be able to get it. If you like a big booty, you'll be able to get that. If you like her thick, you'll be able to get that. If you like them thick and thin or thick and dark, you'll be able to get that. If you like them light and thin, you'll be able to get whatever you want if you focus on the love that you have for you. That's the easy part. So when we tell this next generation the realness of the scripture and how God loves them, so I should love, if God loves me, I definitely should love me. And I'm not going to do that, not because I don't want to, but I love myself enough to say that ain't for me.
Right.
But we have to be real with this next generation or we'll keep repeating the same cycle again and again. And then guess what? Your grandchildren and my grandchildren will be sitting on this couch addressing the same issues.
I agree. That's it, because I think we both could agree that growing up, we had the wool put over our eyes.
They told me don't have sex. And you know what I wanted to do?
Have sex.
Have sex. Because y'all told me, well, God said, and here's the thing. this the pastor's kid coming out now.
Uh-oh.
This the PK. When you they told us to don't do stuff out of fear. If you do this, then God is going to get you. If you do this, then you're going to hell. If you do this, lake of fire shall be thine home. But here's the thing that happens with fear. You lose it little by little until it's all the way gone. And you did the thing, and then you find out that you ain't, man, I ain't in hell. I'm in math class. And so, now I've lost the fear of doing it.
Right.
And guess what? Now I don't have any fear. And so I keep doing it. And when I keep doing the thing, it's only a matter of time before I slip up. And now I got something I can't get rid of. And we don't know what that is. It could be a child. It could be an STD. I got something I can't get rid of. Right? And so we have to not teach them out of fear. We got to teach them out of love.
Because that's what God is. Love.
That's what God is, love.
It's love.
God is love.
We was
I hope some help somebody.
We was bamboozled.
We was bamboozled.
We really were.
That's why I hate church. So the very reason I hate church.
Yeah.
They tricked me.
They did.
If they would have told me and they would have told us the realness of it, we'd probably be further along.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. Because, like, it's so many things. It's so many foundational things that the church taught.
Yeah.
That, like, literally, I use them to this day. Like, it's such discipline that was in structure that was put in place before me going to the military. It was like, oh, this is easy. I had to go to choir rehearsal for 6-7 hours. Listen, we good. I got that structure down pat. And just being diligent about certain things in the church.
Right.
But
right.
just that the false sense of certain things was just like, y'all set us out for failure into the real world, man. Like, y'all set us up.
and then the church folk, hey, I'm just going to keep it real. This is the real podcast. What's the name of the podcast again? The Core Queen. Well, today is the real podcast. All right. Like, they set us out for failure and had no church. We became weird. The church folk became weird
because it was just us.
It was just us.
We was in a echo chamber. We were in an echo chamber. Everything we said made an echo chamber. It made sense to us.
It made sense to us.
We say that shit out somewhere else.
Yeah,
they're like,
yo, what's wrong with you?
And they saw us coming a mile away.
We
had a target on them.
We became so weird. I see people that I grew up with, like in church, and I'd be like, yo, what happened to dude? can I say nigga on here?
Yeah. You can say what you want to say.
Am I allowed to say nigga on here? Or we gonna get...
You can say nigga.
Nigga, weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And we in church thinking they
throw it off.
These cool people.
Yo, like I seen one of the people at my church. I seen him in the mall. I was like, yo, this nigga out of here.
We was the original Handmaid's Tale. By his grace.
The church messed us up.
They did.
And we all got some form of PTSD. We all messed up in some shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a question. I know that this is going to ruffle some feathers. Do you think the church preys on single women and single mothers?
Do I think the church preys on single? Ask it again.
Well, I'm going to say this. So, the question is, do you believe that the church preys on single women and single mothers?
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, because there is an overwhelming majority of people who believe that it's easy to manipulate single women and single mothers.
Yeah.
And that's why most churches are filled with them. Because a lot of men just aren't going to fall for, you know, whatever's being taught or said or whatever, the manipulation stuff that go on in some churches. So
I don't know. I can see that. I don't know if that's the agenda. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the agenda, but I can see that. I can see that happening. But I also don't think that the church is full of women because of that. I got a different.
One of the things that I believe is that I think women are, of course, women are lovers of what you hear, what they hear.
Yeah.
So if it sounds good, we going.
Women
and they want that man, that powerful.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Women naturally want to be led by a man.
Yeah.
Right. And normally a pastor is of a male figure.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So
if a woman wants help, where do you think naturally she thinks to go?
Not the church no more. No, I'm joking. I think
the church is going to cross her mind. It's going to be in the top two, I think.
I think back in the day, yes. I don't know.
See what I'm saying? So she's gonna go there because naturally she wants to hear from God and be around a strong man.
Because I've witnessed married women that go to church too and their husbands won't go.
Yeah.
Like, in that kind of, maybe they split them up or they break up or something like that. But the men are just like, I'm not going in there. No.
Yeah.
But
sometimes that's egotistical.
You'll see a lot of single women in church, and most of them are like trying to get the pastor's attention. And you got the Jamal Bryans making babies all throughout the church.
Stop calling Jamal Bryan out like that.
Why? It's public knowledge.
Okay, go ahead.
It's public knowledge. He slept with a lot of members in the church and made babies with them. Okay. I mean,
I didn't know it was a lot. I thought he had one child. But go ahead.
That was more than
okay. But you know what? Even if it was 100, like,
no, he shouldn't be. I'm just saying.
Like, that's hypothetical. But let's find a solution.
Keep your penis in your pants. What you mean?
Because a lot of time there is something psychological going on or something has happened.
Absolutely. And you shouldn't be leading people. You should go fix that first.
See, that's the hypocrisy of the church.
What do you mean?
Because David killed somebody. David did a whole bunch of stuff, but we still read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We will read that and we'll say, we'll look at the musicians and say, put me in A flat, and we're going to shout. And David was an adulterer. He was a murderer.
That the pastor couldn't be a pastor anymore. I said he should go get help.
I'm just saying.
But why, but we you, didn't you, say you shouldn't David. Be leading
no, I,
people
no, I, I'm not, I'm
in
not
a broken position.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Totally. But I am saying we have to watch it.
If somebody is a serial offender, you need to go get help, and you shouldn't be leading a flock.
Moses was a serial killer.
Moses is
and
not
led a here. Nation. He was the leader of the children of Israel, and he was a murderer.
And like I said,
he was a serial killer.
If you believe it, everybody don't believe what's everything that's in the Bible.
Do you believe in Moses?
I don't know. I ain't got nothing to do with that. Juan said, yes, it does, talking about the women in the church, like the single women.
Okay.
He said, yes, it does. That's why the women show more respect to the pastor than their own husband.
That's a problem.
Damn.
That's a problem.
Damn.
Hey, Juan, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an epidemic. It actually happens a lot.
I like the use of that word right there. It's an epidemic. It's an epidemic.
Yeah, but see, when you're talking about Moses, which is the Old Testament, right? And then we have to talked about evolving, right?
I got examples in the New Testament.
But, and then
too.
We still have to evolve past that. We're in 2024. Yeah. We have knowledge, we have understanding, we have wisdom, and you cannot continue to do things that was happening in the fucking Old Testament now and think that it's okay.
Because murder is not okay, but I'm just saying. What I'm saying is the principle of saying somebody should be ostracized, criticized, or any other.
Oh, you should absolutely be criticized. You have to be held accountable. Period. Point in the blank.
Criticism is not being held accountable.
We need to critique
those. Okay.
Okay. So you take the ism off. Critique people with what they're doing.
Okay.
Offer some type of accountability.
I 100% agree with that.
And then you can come back. You don't continue to just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again while you're leading flock. Because what happens is, just because somebody's in the church doesn't mean that they're, like I said, mature enough to understand that. Let another pastor step up while you go fix that.
I'm just, like you said to me, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your solution?
I'm just giving some feedback. But can we take a break for a second we can play my commercial, so the folks,
please play the commercial.
Yeah,
so I can
my
get some
commercial
more Pepsi.
Right quick. And he needs a refill.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.
Back from our break, y'all. And we're going to have, I think I got one, maybe two more questions, quick questions, and they're not about the church.
Okay. I gotta shout somebody out.
But I need you to pour that because I ain't got no sponsorship with them folks.
Oh,
I need them to get off my camera.
Yeah, we ain't going to show it. We ain't going
to
show it.
Who you need to shout out?
I need to shout out Ray. Ray, where'd you go?
Ray gone. We scared him off.
Okay. Ray.
We scared Ray off. He gone. He left. All right, Mike. I got two more questions for you. Now, these two questions I typically ask my guests.
All right. We about to end?
Yeah, we've been on an hour and a half.
It's been an hour and a half?
Yeah.
I got another hour in me.
Hold on. My boy at I Am Woe Media Group, shout out to I Am Woe. He said, this is a heated convo. Love it, though. Absolutely. You know, everybody passionate about
this. Hey, let me say this.
Religion.
Everybody's passionate about religion, right? Share this.
Absolutely.
If you watched it, share it.
Period. What he said.
Share it. Oh, and tag me in it. That's 814. That's eerie. Mike Jones. 814 Mike Jones. Tag me in it.
Oh my God. This guy here.
That's on IG.
Instagram.
814 Mike Jones.
All right. So
share it, tag.
What has been the best advice you've ever received?
The best advice I've ever received? Mm-hmm. Man, that's heavy. Well, this is going to sound... It would have to be love yourself.
Mm. That's good. That's a good one. Everybody don't get that.
Yeah.
Especially not... I mean, you get it kind of late in life, but that's some good advice.
Yeah.
Because people think that's just automatic.
It's not.
No.
It's not.
No. It's not. Okay.
It's not. Especially come. Do we got how long we got?
Go ahead.
Especially when you come from the church and with PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a time in my life that I didn't want my life. Ooh. I didn't want to be here anymore.
That's heavy.
So the best advice I got was love you.
That is heavy. What got you to that point?
Church and life.
Mm. Dang.
One day I'm gonna sit on this couch and I'm gonna share. I'm gonna share what got me to that point.
When your book come out, you come back.
My book comes out.
About that.
I hate church.
There you go.
But I love church.
All right, my last question for
you.
What advice would you give 15-year-old Mike?
Ooh. What advice would I give 15-year-old Mike?
Mm-hmm. Was you still under the thumb of the church at 15?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, Jesus.
That's all I did at 15 was church.
That's terrible.
I told you I wanted to go to the Erie One. I wanted to go to Booker T.
So what advice would you give yourself? Now, knowing all the things that you know now, what advice would you give 15-year-old Mike?
Love yourself.
What else?
I would tell myself, to travel the world.
Mm. That's a good one. See everything.
See everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See it all.
Little black boys don't really get that.
We don't get that.
No.
We don't get that.
Nope.
But let's break the curse. Mm. Let's break the cycle. Let's find a way to get little black boys and little black girls on airplanes.
Absolutely.
And on boats.
Yep.
Let's find a way to do that.
Yeah.
Let's sponsor somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Get them out of their immediate area.
Yeah.
And off social media, because that ain't real.
It ain't.
I'm glad you said that because actually in July I have, Fred don't even know this yet, I'm going to have panels again, but this time it's going to be young people because I had a young girl reach out to me.
Beautiful.
And she was like, we got stuff to say. We know some stuff too. I said, you know what? Y'all do. So I'm going to have a panel of young girls, young boys, and then I'm going to bring them together.
Yeah, I like it.
I want to hear what they got to say.
I like it. Yeah. But we need to listen.
Yes.
And then we need to act accordingly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we really complain about the generation, but it's our fault. Like, we coddled, we gave too much, we didn't pay attention enough.
Yeah.
We wanted to fill so much of a gap of what we didn't have material wise that we missed the mark on some things that we really got back in the day that we needed and we needed to give to our kids. So we complain about them, but some of this shit is our fault for them being the way they are.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah. So I want to hear what they have to say and hopefully be able to fill some gaps with them. But hold on, we got some comments.
Then
we're gonna get up out of here.
All right.
Let's see what the comments say. I am Woe said, my father is a pastor, but I am not a big church guy. Church hurt is very real. I'm so glad you said that, Woe, because literally people was like dragging us in one post a few months ago saying that church hurt ain't real. I'm like, what?
it's some of the most traumatic hurt that you can have.
Absolutely.
Because church hurt, what it does is it transitions past this life to the next.
Yeah.
Because you're telling me I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So it ain't, I don't just deal with the now, I deal with the afterlife with church hurt.
So I'm like, damn, you cursing me the damn nation? God, because I went to the party. Shit. Woe said, church can be a blessing, but it can also, it can hurt. I can't even see that. It can be your, I guess it says, be your worst pain as well. Mm-hmm. The ultimate gift and curse. Hence the book.
I hate church. I love church.
There you go. Well, listen, Mike Jones.
Oh, shout out to wifey. Shout out to my kids.
Hey, Mary. Yo,
what up?
Hey, Donnie. Hey, Mike. Hey, what the other kids. I don't know y'all names. I'm sorry.
But it was shout out to Kenny.
K3, my son,
my boy.
Look,
Mike, is he watching?
It was probably not.
Okay,
this was like an amazing experience. It was a pleasure having you on this platform to have this hard discussion that most people wouldn't be willing to come on and talk about. So, like, being the pastor's kid and having like a bird's eye view of what it really is like in this religious type of environment, I appreciate you for coming on and spending time with us over here.
Anytime.
So this is the part of the show where I let you let people know what you got going on, how to follow you, if you want to shout anything out, any upcoming events or anything like
that. My shout out was premature.
Yeah, it was. So that's your camera. But give them your social media.
All right. Yeah, listen. 814 Mike Jones. Y'all tap in with me. Share this. Yeah, I appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all soon. Look for the book. The book, I'm still writing it, but this time, next time I'm on this couch, it'll be done.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that.
I'm excited for it to be done.
Me too, for sure.
I'm excited. Well, y'all know I am the core queen. I help, I'm going to be nice today because we're talking about church. I help individuals lose weight and get in amazing shape without starving themselves or spending hours a day in the gym. I ain't gonna call nobody a big bitch today.
Wait, say it again. You can call nobody. What? I hear you.
I ain't gonna call nobody a big back bitch today. I'm gonna be nice. But if y'all need a personal trainer, fitness coach, nutritionist, that's me. I'm your girl. I'm certified in all areas. I have proven results. I am a walking billboard of what my results look like. So holler at your girl. CoreQueenFitness.com/apply. That'll get you directly to my calendar. We can chop it up, see what you need to do, and see if we're a good fit to work together. Y'all, Core Queen Podcast on YouTube. Hit that notification bell. Like the video. Comment on the video. Share it. Tell people about the video. Also, Spotify, the Core Queen Podcast on Spotify. Download every episode on there. Like it. Save it to your favorites. Tell people about the podcast. Black with No Chaser Radio, internet radio app. Download that app, Core Queen Podcast. We are live every Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This episode will air on that platform. I appreciate y'all for watching this episode. This was an amazing experience. And y'all, please tell people about the Core Queen Podcast. We're doing great things. If you need studio space, whether you're a DJ, content creator, podcast host, whatever you have going on in the content creator space, check me out, 4101 Suite F, Stewart Andrew Boulevard in Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217. We have our grand opening, official grand opening, on July 13th from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., but we will be here all night. We got a mobile bartender coming. We got Gouda's Kitchen food truck. We got V Spa Charlotte. We got Tipsy Cupcakes tips. I think that's how you say it. Tipsy Taste, something like that. I'm sorry, Tay. We got the Travelers Club that will be here to teach us to have a table about investments and how to do stocks and all that good stuff. Y'all, we got a whole list of people coming, vendors. We're going to have some live broadcasting from the show. We got Power 98, the number one hip hop station in Charlotte, will be here live broadcasting as well. If you are interested in knowing how to do podcasting, come in. We'll set up the room for you, do a quick little show for you to show how it goes. And then you can rent the room and start your podcasting. Y'all check us out. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. And we out.